Welcome back to another episode of Feel Good Life. I'm Jennifer James, a farmer in Northeast Arkansas, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. In my first episode, I kind of talked about my background and how I got in farming, and I talked a little bit about my love of advocating for American farmers and rice farmers and being involved in policy development and government regulation development. And I knew at the time of the recording that I was going to be going to D.C. to testify in front of the United States Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, but I couldn't say anything yet because it was all still in the works and very tentative at the time. But I did get to go, and I wanted to talk about that today and tell you about that two-day trip up and back. I felt like a real sure enough DC insider. I flew up on a direct flight out of Little Rock at 6 a.m. one morning, and I was back home by 7:30 p.m. the next day. So I guess that's not my normal day at the office, to be sure. But I was asked to testify on behalf of the U.S. rice industry. The name of the hearing was titled The Perspectives from the Field, Farmer and Rancher Views on Agricultural Economy. And it was in front of the full Senate Ag Committee, which consists of 23 senators. The chairman of that committee is from Arkansas, Senator John Bozeman. So do have a relationship with him and some of his staff because he has been our senator for several years now and has worked his ranks up in the Ag Committee to be chairman, which we are excited about, those of us in agriculture here in Arkansas, to have his representation in that seat. But it was a lot of fun getting ready for it. It was very nerve-wracking getting ready for it. I worked with the policy development team at USA Rice and other farmers. I talked to bankers and other lenders in the state, other farmers, neighbors around me before I went, just to kind of make sure that my story was the same as theirs. And I've continued to find out that, yes, the story is the same. And we'll talk about that during this podcast, too, what it looks like out in the field going into the 2025 crop here in Arkansas. So the point of the hearing was to hear from farmers and real life, boots on the ground, do it every day, family farmers. And I had an honor to be included with eight other farmers from across the country, representing several different commodities: corn, soybeans, grain sorghum, sugar beets, wheat, peanuts, cotton, and barley. So a wide range of individuals across different commodities and different states, different viewpoints, different uses of policy applied across those different crops. Some may rely more heavily on crop insurance products. Others may be, like those of us in rice, rely more on the Title I portion of the Farm Bill, which is the safety net. But across the board, I think when we wrapped up at the end, and Senator Bozeman actually commented in his closing comments that he'd never been at a panel where the testimony was so similar across so many different commodities and so many different locations. But back to getting ready. So before you go to one of these, you have to prepare your written testimony, which is submitted for the record. And I guess it's on file, I guess, with the U.S. Senate forever. I don't know. But my testimony, you can find it online on the U.S. Senate Ag Committee website. It is rather lengthy, and it's a place where that commodity or that interest group can list all types of information, topics that they might be interested in having, you know, details and things on the record with the Senate. And so we worked hard. I got a framework of that with a lot of policy points that are the background of USA Rice, which have been worked on by a lot of sectors in the rice industry, mainly farmers. And then I took that and tried to add in a personal touch, you know, kind of like what that really means to me and my family for our farm here, and also some of the other people that I spoke with in preparation for going up, because I wanted to be sure that I had a really good story that talked about what all farmers were facing here in the state. So after we got that wrapped up and finalized and submitted to the committee, then you have to prepare for your actual testimony when you are on site there in D.C. And I had 4 minutes and that's it. So 4 minutes feels like a long time, but it goes by really fast too. So I went through my written testimony and we started scaling it down. And, you know, when you got a southern drawl like I do here in Arkansas, it takes a lot of time to say what I have to say, and 4 minutes is quick. So I timed myself and worked on it and changed it up and reworded and got it set to where I could get it done in 4 minutes. But I had a few things in there that I was kind of worried about and I was nervous about because it really was very personal to me about my family and my son and the longevity of our operation and my fourth generation family farmer and how important it is for those of us who are working on our family farms and those before us have been successful and we don't want to be the one to lose it all. So there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of pressure in making sure the next generation is prepared to take it over. And so we're kind of in that succession, changeover, handover between the third and fourth generation and then hopefully the fifth one day. So my testimony was very honest and raw and personal to me, but I practiced and practiced and practiced so that I wouldn't get cracked up, not laughing during the testimony. And I felt really good about it. So I got ready, got my suits in order, you know, had to get my clothes prepared and packed, and I don't dress in a suit at work most days, so I had to pull out those business suits and look professional and look the part, flew up, and just the week before, if you may remember, the American Airlines had a crash there in the Potomac going into the D.C. airport. So as I was descending down over D.C., which if you've ever flown into D.C., it's pretty amazing view, or it is to me. It's such a historical city. If you know about how our founders laid out the layout of the city for it to be a very strong place and a lot of power in that city when our founding fathers designed the layout where the Capitol and the White House are positioned. So I always love to just, you know, look out the window and see what I can see coming in. But I happened to be on the side of the plane where I could see the wreckage in the Potomac and the rescue boats and everything going on. And so it really gave me pause, you know, going into D.C. So said a little prayer for those people and their families and all of the folks that had been in the rescue efforts in that freezing cold water. But I did notice that I kept looking at the horizon just to make sure that there wasn't a helicopter headed my way. So a little unnerving, but also a moment I won't forget. So I got into D.C. and caught a cab, got checked in my hotel and went straight to visiting with some of the Senate Ag Committee members, went to their offices with members of USA Rice and had some great conversations about the hearing. And I was able to speak one-on-one with some of the staffers and some of the senators about what my testimony would entail and the hardships that we're seeing economically in farm country in eastern Arkansas and across the country. Those really cool meetings. And if you have never had a chance to represent your profession in some way, I highly recommend that you become involved in trade association, whatever profession you're in, and get involved in the process. It's really eye-opening to see what's going on in D.C. and how things move and how many people are trying to get things done. And so I guess that's why sometimes we do see the gridlock, because people are really advocating for their voice to be heard. And that's what our government's all about. So it's exciting to me to be able to have the opportunity to be a part of that process. And hopefully in some small way, my words and my story resonate with some of the senators that I had the chance to meet with one-on-one, and that they can think back and remember me and my family's story as they are moving forward with legislation toward the Farm Bill or any other rural development agriculture policy that's coming up in the 119th Congress. So that night I went back to my hotel and I tried to sleep, but That was pretty tough. I thought a lot about my testimony and tried not to be nervous about the next morning, but that's pretty tough to do. I knew I was going into a very intimidating environment. As I said earlier, certainly not a normal day at the office for me. But I got up and the people at USA Rice had set up a breakfast and with some of the others that were testifying and some of the other trade association members from the different commodities. So I got to meet some of my peers that were going to be on the panel with me and talk about their farms and learn about their problems and issues. And it's such a great way to connect with other farmers across the country. America is such a vast land mass, and we have so many different types of agriculture in so many different regions. And even a rice farmer somewhere else has different problems than I do and different ways of looking at things and growing their crop. And I just love talking to other farmers and learning, you know, about their operations. And so I made a couple of new friends, and we headed out to the Senate Ag Committee hearing room. We got there. The actual hearing began with Zippy Duval, who is the president of American Farm Bureau, and Mr. LaRue, who is the president of the National Farmers Union. All the senators, or most all the senators, were in attendance, and they began by asking those two gentlemen questions. And it was about 2 hours in before the farmer panel actually came to the stage, so to speak, or came to the table. So we swapped out, and I ended up being number 9 on the panel. So the 4-minute testimonies by each farmer started at the other end of the table, which was another Arkansas farmer, Nathan Reed, who's a cotton farmer. And so he started with his testimony and they went down the line and finally hit number 9. I thought I might get more and more nervous as it kind of like went along, but I didn't. Listen to the other farmers and could relate to a lot of their stories, a lot of their comments about you know, going into the 2025 crop year with losses, looking at losses for this year and their families. And so many of them were generational farmers. So I actually kind of found a little peace and calm within myself before I started giving my testimony. And Senator Bozeman introduced me and I began and I got going. And when I started talking about my son, I definitely got a huge lump in my throat. So I may even today talking about it. So it was emotional and it was tough to get through. And I went over my 4 minutes, but nobody got, I didn't get in any trouble. just a little bit over my 4 minutes. But since that time, I have had people reach out to me. In fact, that afternoon in the hearing room, a couple of farmers who were there, just kind of in the peanut gallery, not on the panel, but were there in the room listening to the hearing, came up to me and said, yeah, my family is talking about some of the same things that you mentioned in your testimony, which the main thing was, is farming worth it? You know, is it worth borrowing money and signing your name on a loan and putting up everything you own every year to make a crop? Is it worth it? And there's a lot of families in our country right now that are sitting down and they're looking at their financial situation, and it may be very good and strong today, but looking at this next crop, seeing every crop here in Eastern Arkansas that we can plant is projected to be a loss according to the University of Arkansas crop production budgets. You know, how much of that equity do you want to lose? How much do you want to put at risk? How long are you willing to put it at risk? And even though I was a little bit mad at myself for getting so emotional during the testimony, looking back, I think it was probably good because so many people have reached out to me that it really resonated with them, that they certainly, you know, are having the same conversations. No matter whether you're in Iowa or Arkansas or Nebraska or New Jersey, I've been really fortunate to hear the feedback. And I appreciate that feedback because it's not an easy thing to go and do. But it also confirms the fact that the Senate Ag Committee, the House Ag Committee, our entire Congress needs to get to work quickly on a farm bill. They extended the 2018 farm bill, which is what we are currently working under. They've extended it twice. And the 2018 farm bill actually has support levels that were calculated for the 2012 farm bill. So a lot of that data is probably even from 2011 and 2010. And we all know that our household budgets, if we were still working on a 20 12 budget in your own household that if your ends are not going to meet. We're barely making ends meet now, most folks. So it's just not sustainable to expect farmers in our country to produce food for Americans based off of economics from 12 years ago. So we really need an updated price loss coverage, which is part of the Farm Bill, which is very confusing, and most folks don't understand a lot about the Farm Bill. But we need a safety net in this country that is based on the financial realities that farmers are seeing. And there are many risk management tools within this legislation that work in some regions and they don't work in others. And that's why we need all the tools in the toolbox. And the reason we really need a Farm Bill is to make sure that we in America are producing our own food, that we can feed our people. And it's not only about just being fed, it's about security, national security. If we become reliant upon other countries to feed us and they stop that supply of food, you know, we're in bad shape. We're in trouble. That's not a good way to support our country. And currently, specifically for rice, and I'm sure other commodities see many trade issues across the world. We're in a global world. And this is very apparent, I think, to everyone now. And there are many countries in the world who rely on rice as their number one staple food. Many, many countries eat rice 2 and 3 times a day. And those countries protect their farmers. They protect that crop because it is such an important food. And their governments are highly subsidizing their farmers. In India, it's as high as 90% of their costs to produce their crop are being subsidized by their government. And that is not something that an American farmer can compete against, someone who barely has any expense in their crop. So it's not just about making sure our farmers stay in business, but we have to compete with other governments in the world and other countries in the world who are very protectionist, you know, for their farmers, and especially with rice. A lot of Asian countries, as you might think, you know, eat a lot of rice and they protect their farmers very heavily as well. And I can't speak to the other commodities, but I'm sure there's instances that could be mentioned when you're talking about other commodities and foods that we rely on and that are grown in our country. If you're listening today and any of this resonates with you, you know, like if you eat 3 meals a day, right? So that's everybody. And you want to help and be supportive of farmers here in Arkansas, you know, Eastern Arkansas, all of our communities are very reliant on agriculture. So this is a topic that should be important to everyone every day. Reach out to any farmer that you know, and they can let you know how you can plug in and be a part of the process, the legislative process. If you are a farmer, we need to hear your voice. You need to be out there. You've got to tell your story, because if we don't tell our story, someone is going to tell the story that they think is our story. And a lot of times that may not be accurate. I know it's hard. I know there's a lot of economically depressed operations now, but if we're going to ever achieve any change in that, we've got to tell our story. So I would love to hear from you. Please, you know, send me a message on any of the social media channels that I'm on. Drop a message on my blog website at feelgoodlife.com. And let's make sure that Congress knows it is very urgent for them to move on and get a Farm Bill done. And not only get one done, but get one completed that reflects the financial times. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'll see you in the field. Added below in the show notes will be links to my written testimony on the Senate Ag Committee website. It's in a PDF format, so you can download that and read the entire testimony. We're also going to put a link to the full video hearing if you want to watch all of the hearing, or you can watch just my portion, and there'll be a separate link to just my 4-minute testimony. We also found a video of Senator Bozeman as he is asking questions from the Arkansas farmers, so that might be of interest to you as well. And we'll also link all of this on my blog at www.feelgoodlife.com. Hope you'll take the time and take a listen to some of the videos.